We are studying together tonight Psalm 23. I handed out an outline which gives you most of the lesson, so we'll just have a conclusion. Now, we'll add some things to it. One of the reasons for studying this, of course, we're dealing with important chapters in the Bible. And Jesus speaks of himself as a shepherd in the New Testament. And he's referred to as a shepherd in the New Testament. And those who are Christians are referred to as part of the flock. And so we have a number of verses, and I've copied down a few of those, in Hebrews 13 and verse 20, concerning sheep and the shepherd. The Hebrew writer says, "Now to God, to the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep." And in Acts 20 and verse 28, in talking about the relationship of elders to the church, a somewhat similar wording is used. Speaking to the elders from the church at Ephesus, when Paul was at Miletus, he referred to individual Christians as the flock over which these elders were to be overseers. And even later in that same text, he talked about wolves coming into the flock. False teachers and Christians being talked about. In 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4, Peter in writing his book, and Peter was an elder, which would indicate, based upon the qualifications in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, that he had a wife. And we know that his mother-in-law got sick. And I don't know whether Catholics get him as the first pope, and every one of them since then can't be married. But Peter says that in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. He was speaking to his fellow elders. But let's just turn to that. 1 Peter 5. And he's speaking here to the elders in these first few verses. First Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock." That's the church. It's the idea of a sheep, though. "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither being lords over God's heritage, but being examples," or ensamples, "to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, And I've heard that I've heard elders referred to as under shepherds. At the church in Lubbock, Texas, the preacher referred to the elders as shepherds. I always thought he was doing that just to be different. But a person who tends the flock is a shepherd, and so it wouldn't be out of line to refer to an elder as a shepherd. But he said, "When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Of course, he's talking about Jesus. So we have these stories in the New Testament that in suggesting how the church is to relate to elders, there's a sheep-shepherd relationship and a number of situations where Jesus, I believe, in the book of John, speaks of himself as the good shepherd. And to better be able to understand that, we need to know a little bit more about sheep and about shepherd. I didn't have any sheep to bring with me tonight, or shepherd, but we don't have too many sheep around here, and the ones that we do have, they don't have a shepherd. So it's not, this is not really in our environment, this type of situation, and so it's sometimes it's difficult to understand what Jesus is talking about, we say, well, we know that it's talking about someone who takes care of sheep. Well, a shepherd was a little bit more, you know, we think of somebody taking care of livestock. We had cows, we had hogs, and we had mules. And you'd take something to feed the cow. When she came with calf, you'd have to go and milk and feed her some in the wintertime, but make sure she had water. But other than that, I didn't follow that cow around all day. I could care less what she did as long as she stayed in the fence. But it was a different relationship in many parts of the world between a shepherd and the sheep. One man wrote a book about that, and he'd been a shepherd in East Africa. And he spoke of the time that it took to take care of his sheep, that he'd have to go out with them. And sheep, you don't herd sheep like you do cattle. Normally, if you got some cows out in the pasture, you go out and you bring them in, but you got to be behind them, or they don't bring. You run them in. You don't even do hogs that way. I tried that a time too, when they got out. They don't herd at all. But sheep are led. Sheep are led. The shepherd goes out in front of the sheep. Also, and I know this kind of messes up our wanting this 23rd Psalm read at our funeral, but this really has nothing to do with death. It's not contemplating death. It's contemplated being taken care of, so there won't be death to a sheep. And David was a shepherd, so he knew about sheep. Remember when his brothers were out with the army, and David went out to join them. In speaking to Saul about his ability, to go up against this giant Philistine and have at least some chance of defeating him. David said this in 1 Samuel 17, 34 and 35. David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, smote him and slew him." And we know that God would have to be with him on that, because that's not normally something that you would do. I'd probably say you can have that lamb. But this is how much the shepherd cared for the sheep. This is how much that those sheep depended upon that shepherd. And David was a shepherd. So as I don't know what part of his life that he writes this. There were times when he didn't follow what God wanted him to do. But many of the times he did, referred to in the Bible as a man after God's own heart. But he is saying that God is my shepherd, that Jehovah is my shepherd. He's the one that I follow. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So as we look at this psalm, the tender care of the good shepherd, I've listed the title. First of all, as we look at verses 1 and the first part of verse 2, we see that the shepherd provides for the physical needs of his flock. So we'll initially look at what the physical shepherd, what the man out there taking care of the sheep, and how the sheep relate to one another, and then we seek to make application to us. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And I've defined the word want means to have a lack or have a need. And therefore he's saying, with God leading me, I'll not want or I'll not need. And that's the same thing with that sheep. That sheep couldn't get anything without that shepherd. That shepherd is the one that took that sheep out in the morning and got him to the particular pasture that he needed to be in. In speaking of God's care for the children of Israel through 40 years of their wandering, God said he'd been with them, and he said in Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 7, thou hast lacked nothing. So everything that the children of Israel needed as they were on that wanderings to get to the promised land, on the way to the promised land, they had provided to them by God. The shepherd then would be the one who would provide for the physical needs of his flock. When Jesus refers to himself as a good shepherd, he provides for our needs. Jesus cares. We can cast our cares upon him. When we go to God in prayer, we pray through Jesus Christ as a mediator. We have him there on our behalf. Also, we're taught that if we pray without wavering, that God and Jesus will provide. A second thing, look at the second verse, the latter part of the second verse. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Still waters. Now, thinking about a sheep, first of all. A sheep and a shepherd. Out there in the fields or whatever. Sheep out there have water. They can't get enough. They can get some water from the dew on plants, as many animals do. But not, they're not like, camels. They can't go a great period of time without drinking water. And still waters would be water. I don't know they had too many ponds back in that time. They had running water, and sheep were easily spooked. Remember in Tales of the Old West, they had their, cattle stampedes when cattle would get spooked. Well, sheep did not like to be around waters that were not still. Plus, the waters that were moving fast would be danger for a sheep too. If a sheep got down with all that wool, and you had any of you had a lot of wool on it and got wet, but here's a sheep had a lot of wool, and if that sheep got wet. And there wasn't too much that sheep could do. It just bogged him down. Like a person going swimming with his clothes on. But he says that the shepherd provides for the physical needs of the flock, and the shepherd provides, makes provision for the contentment and the well-being of a sheep. Livestock will grow better. We'll put on the pounds that are necessary. We'll do whatever it is. They produce wool, the sheep. If there's a contentment, if they have the right amount of food, the right kind of food, and the right amount of water. So, waters that are bubbling and going about, they disrupt, the sheep in their day and just, knock them for a loop, so to speak. 1 Timothy 6 and 6 concerning Christians says, godliness with contentment is great gain. There's a lot to be said for being content, isn't it? Paul said, I had learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. And there were a lot of circumstances, very difficult, very unusual circumstances that Paul found himself in. And somehow he said, I learned. Now later in that same context in Philippians 4, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that's one way he learned contentment. He was satisfied with what he had. I saw a list the other day, I didn't keep a copy of it, but it showed, the type of items that we now consider, that most people now consider necessities. And iPods was on. I don't even know how to spell iPods. iPods was on there. Cell phone. There were a lot of things on there. And I thought, because I've always thought at home, there's a lot of things we can drop from our budget if we ever get too close. And cell phones can go. Internet can go. There are things that TV, cable can go. I mean, you got to put rabbit ears, you get 5 or 6 stations. Okay? And there's probably a lot of older folks that haven't do that now with fixed income. So there are a whole lot of things that weren't even around when many of you, many of you and myself were growing up. I didn't have any problem with my mom and dad telling me to get up from the TV and get my homework done. There wasn't any TV to get up from. And if it was there, you didn't watch it anyway, because there's too much other stuff to do. But we're in a completely different world now. The necessities, or people's idea of necessities, has changed. Here, though, we're talking about the sheep receiving the necessities, the things that they want, that they like, that will bring them contentment. And here in verse 2, one writer said that verse 2 pictures the sheep out there feeding, and they finished, and then they lie down in the cool, and they're just contented. Verse 1 of Proverbs 17 says, "Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife." People tell you that your food will digest better if you don't have an upset stomach, if you're not a little uptight about stuff. So there's less hassle with the sheep when there is still water, when there's an idea of having rest, of the soul being restored. Looking on the second page of our outline so you follow along, the restores my soul, in the New English Translation I put down, that is translated, "He renews my life." He renews my life. But look at the latter part of verse 3. "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." There in many of the areas of the country, New Zealand, I think, is one of the biggest sheep raising places, as I understand it. They have great big ranches. I did see some out in the Dakotas, South Dakota, I believe. Great big ranches. They were so far back off the road, and they were sheep ranches. So far back over the road, you couldn't even see where they were. The house was way back in there somewhere. But those sheep roamed a lot of distance. And I don't know whether they had a shepherd with those sheep, but in the days in Palestine in that area that David is referring to, now they had certain paths that they would follow to certain fields in order to go to the place where the greenest pastures would be. And so the path in the Hebrews has reference to an entrenchment or a track in which wheels are rolled that show the restrictive nature of God's law there. Matthew 7, verse 14, we're taught that our lives have that structure to them. "The straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth to life, few there be that find it. Broad is the way," of course, leads in the other direction. So there are certain guidelines, there are certain rules, there are certain commands that we're given by God. As the psalmist would look at his life and God's word, he said in Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path." So what is he saying there? Well, likely, he's comparing it to the time that he would be out with his sheep or out walking somewhere in the trench, but he had to have some kind of light that would either from the star, moon, to show him the way. And here it is, the word was showing him the way through life. In Jeremiah 10, in verse 23, the prophet says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps." These sheep could not direct their own steps. These sheep were totally helpless. Totally helpless. The shepherd led his sheep on the right path to get to those green pastures that were previously referred to, and to return to the fold by night. And thus we as Christians need to know what God's path is for our life. What God would have us to how God would have us to live. That's why we encourage Bible study. We have so many people that are hoping that they're going to heaven. And I've got problems with a lot of folks and their attitude toward the study of God's Word. I was listening to some denominational preacher on the way home, and he was right. He said, you know, the reason, he said, when I speak on here, don't you pay attention to me. You go and find it in the Bible. I don't know what he said, because I can be wrong. I can teach error. I won't intentionally lie to you, he said. But he said, I can be wrong. I can teach error. And so we need to know God's Word for ourselves. We're not going to have a surrogate in heaven, you know. We're not going to say, well, God, I'm not responsible. You need to talk to Brother Don or talk to Jerry. You know, they got to study the Bible. I never did get to study it. How many years do you live on this earth? And that's the question we're going to get. See, they won't have the elders and myself come in along with a whole congregation. Each individual person will stand alone. And that's kind of scary at times, isn't it? We need to be studying our Bibles. We need to be walking those paths of righteousness. And in verses 4 and 5, the shepherd provides protection. Provide security to those sheep. Just like David said, whenever there was a lion or a bear or whatever kind of wild animal got after those sheep, he was their total defense. Maybe the male sheep will have a horn, horns, a ram, but none of the sheep I've ever seen had horns. None of the sheep I ever saw had antlers. None of the sheep I ever saw were biting on each other. You know, maybe they do. They have no defense mechanism. They're not fast runners. They're not like a skunk to admit this odor to get rid of you. Or like an opossum, he goes up in a ball. Sheep is totally dependent upon the shepherd. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, didn't he? Those who are, as far as spiritual things are concerned, poverty stricken, and believe that. I listened on the radio on the way in, some doctor on WLAC, and he's talking about some studies that were run where people were told that made up beds at a motel, made up by 15 beds in the day or in the morning, and that was sufficient exercise to have them lead a healthy life. And they didn't say that to the others. But they didn't do anything else. They didn't get out on the treadmill or do anything. But they said just because they believed that, they lived healthier lives. Now maybe they did some other things. Maybe they watched what they ate so they would. But a lot of times it has to do with what our thinking is. We have to have hope. Paul always had hope. He said he was contentment. We need contentment, don't we? These sheep, in order to progress in their growth and their growing of the wool and their production, producing of lambs, they had to have contentment. You don't need sheep or any animals that are skittish. A lot of times those cows that stampeded in Old West, they dropped a lot of weight just by being in a stampede. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. These words, as I mentioned earlier, were not meant and not written to be read primarily at a funeral, because the sheep is talking here, right? He said, the Lord's my shepherd, so David is the sheep. And he's saying, I'm the one that's walking, just like that sheep that is walking along that trail. Maybe it's a darkness has come. And that's when the animals are going to be out. The animals of prey, they're going to be out to snag that lagging sheep or that baby lamb. And the sheep is saying that I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That can be death all around. But I don't have any fear because I know my shepherd is there. I know my shepherd is there. He's not saying I die and I know my shepherd will be with me after I'm dead. He said, my shepherd would be with me, so I won't die. Now, we know we're going to die. Sheep are going to die too, but that's what this, I think that's what David is trying to get across. That's what the sheep do. They walk through these various valleys. Darkness may have come. There may be a problem. The shepherd has a rod. He has a staff to comfort. God's word is to bring hope and comfort to us. At the close of the day, now this is my narration down at the bottom here on page 2. The close of the day, as the flock was brought back through ravines or shaded areas, there was darkness and shadows that could alarm the sheep. The shepherd was there with his rod and staff for protection. This is what I found about the rod. The rod is an extension of the shepherd's right arm. Usually in the Bible, the right arm refers to as a symbol of power, symbol of strength, symbol of his authority in any type serious situation. The shepherd was there to take care of the sheep. And the sheep knew that they were there with a good shepherd. So he was a safeguard. This rod, though, was a safeguard both for the sheep and the shepherd. It was used also, Ezekiel 20 and verse 36 talks about those are running, passing under the rod, speaking of people. Examining and counting the sheep is usually what the rod was used for by the shepherd. So we are examined. The staff found out some information on it that it is unique to taking care of sheep. And I guess it probably has that curl on the end of it, somewhat similar to a walking stick, where you can bring this particular sheep out to take care of parasites, to check for injuries, or check for any other problems if that sheep is not acting right. And that's the thing with God. Sometimes we're chastised, aren't we? Sometimes elders have to bring things attention to a congregation or to an individual that maybe there's something happening. Maybe there's a parasite about to take charge of a person's life. Maybe there's some spiritual injury there that needs to be taken care of. So the staff was a symbol of the shepherd's concern for the flock. As we look in the New Testament, looking at Romans chapter 8, we can look to our shepherd. Paul is saying that our shepherd will always be there. There's not anything that can separate us from our shepherd. Who shall say anything? This is Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, even that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He's there to speak on our behalf, just like a lawyer. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Similar question could be asked about that shepherd. Who's going to separate the shepherd from his sheep? A good shepherd would not separate himself from the sheep. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, as is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it's difficult for the Christian, one who lives his life and has the pattern in his life of Christ's example, to be away from the care of the chief shepherd. And the result of the good shepherd's care is in verse 6 of the 23rd chapter. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Of course, this is getting more to David himself rather than what a sheep would say. The sheep will be taken care of as long as they have that shepherd to take care of them. But the blessedness, there's a blessedness now, all the days of my life. And then it says, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So there's a blessing in eternity. 1 Peter 3:10 says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. So that presents at least some comments that I have from my reading and from a reading of this psalm of the tender care of the Good Shepherd. As David looks back on his life in his memory concerning his care of his sheep. And he's saying God takes care of his people. God cares for his people in that same manner. And then he gave at least the situations and where it was comparable. Tonight, there's one here, I think everyone here is a Christian tonight of accountable age. So, if there's one here who, as a Christian, desires our prayers, wishes to rededicate your life to Christ, if you have that need, you have that opportunity to do that if we stand and sing.